24 hours a day, 7 days a week. On demand, powerful talk radio. We global, and you can do nothing about it. BashaniRadio.com. Always talking about everything. Keep it locked. Keep it locked. Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and Manhattan. You are listening to BashaniRadio.com. New York City, always talking about everything.
Welcome to Rethinking Mental Health with JC Mears on Bashani Radio out of New York City. Always talking about everything. We can be heard everywhere podcasts is played. iHeartRadios, iTunes, Spotify, and many more. I am super excited to introduce you. You see, she's like me, yay! to my guest today, Alta Lene Braxton. And I'm going to just call her Lene.
Hi, that is fine, yes.
And let me tell my guests a little bit about who you are, because I love the concept of people being multidisciplinary in their approach to everything. So you are a spiritual counselor, sport and performance enhancement, a yoga and Pilates teacher. You are currently doing your PhD and your master's at the same time. Yes, people, I am not making a mistake when I read this. Your PhD in mind-body medicine and your master's in clinical mental health scholar. You're also a mom, a wife, and Holistic Performance Center out of Atlanta is your baby. Your
yes.
Yes. Thank you so much. I call her sis, so if you hear us referring to each other, we're the yin and yang. I'm not sure who's yin, who's yang.
It depends on what day it is.
Yes. Thank you so much for joining Rethinking Mental Health.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure. My absolute pleasure. I'm so happy to be here.
Yes. So today, I want to talk a little bit about, you know, the role mental health has played in your life at this moment. Mm-hmm. Your wife, your mother, your daughter, your student, your scholar, your entrepreneur. How is mental health a big factor in your life?
Well, I really just believe, sis, that mental health, it goes hand in hand and is one of the foundations of everything else that we do. For example, just something as much as when you think of waking up in the morning, mm-hmm. being in tune with what your state of mind is that particular day mm-hmm. may set the tone for anything else that happens that day. Mm-hmm. And so mental health, I find that those two words right now in our culture are buzzwords, which is a good thing, a good mm-hmm. thing. But what necessarily sparks an idea with me is that even though mental health is a buzz phrase, or those are buzz terms that a lot of people are using right now, in particular clinicians and practitioners, mm-hmm. still for the general public, mental health doesn't have to be anything fancy. Mm-hmm. It can just be a matter of checking in with yourself and wondering how you're doing mm-hmm. mentally.
Yeah.
And health-wise,
yeah,
that is all. I think sometimes it's good just to break it down back to basics.
Yeah.
And to keep it simple. Mm-hmm. And for me, mental health in my life has always just kind of meant, how am I feeling? What do I need? Mm-hmm. Because when I think of it even deeper, and now as a practitioner and clinician, when I think about that, it can be a bit daunting.
Yeah.
I may think about, you know, maybe 20 people, if I'm really honest, who are clinically depressed, mm-hmm. maybe undiagnosed clinical depression, mm-hmm. but still clinically depressed. Mm-hmm. Every marker is met when you look at them, mm-hmm. when you think about them. Then I may think about the cousin that has severe schizophrenia. Mm-hmm. and who has been institutionalized several times. Mm-hmm. Or I may think about my elderly grandmother who lives alone, mm-hmm. and unless someone calls her or comes to see her, she's blind, she cries.
Yeah.
So I think that mental health for myself and my family can be a lot deeper, mm-hmm. but just starting at the basics for myself in order to keep going, mm-hmm. it just simply means how I feel mm-hmm. in relation to my health. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that you have to compartmentalize all the different areas of you in order to effectively manage your mental health?
I do.
Okay.
I do. Mm-hmm. I think breaking it down and compartmentalizing it, it's mm-hmm. funny that you say that because I really did have to learn how to compartmentalize mm-hmm. Different areas in a sense of taking apart the yeah. pieces. Mm-hmm. And then I do believe that they all integratively belong back together and all mm-hmm. are connected. Mm-hmm. But before we can do all of that, it's like if you think of soup or a dish that has all of these ingredients, right, to make up the whole dish.
Yeah.
You need the different pieces mm-hmm. before you can have the whole.
So is that Gestalt theory?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Do you think that you audit each relationship and give each relationship priorities in different areas? And so therefore, when you are compartmentalizing, you know what needs what a little bit more and what needs less of you, less of your concept of mental health?
Now, are you asking me as a person? Or as the practitioner?
I think both.
Both. Okay. Yeah. Okay. That's an excellent question. Mm-hmm. I would say as a person, no. Mm-hmm. I tend to be a free spirit and just kind of show up mm-hmm. as I am and meet people as they are. Mm-hmm. For example, if I see someone and meet someone, then I'm likely to give them a hug. Mm-hmm. That's just me.
We're huggers.
We're huggers, you know. But, and this is something as a practitioner mm-hmm. that I've learned to compartmentalize mm-hmm. recently, is that not everybody wants a hug.
Yeah.
Or not everybody is ready for a hug or to be touched.
So they're asking for permission almost.
So, and then asking for permission. Mm-hmm. And then that's even more of a part of meeting them where they are. Mm-hmm. Because I'm thinking, well, a hug is one of the best medicines. You know, yeah. What do you mean you don't want a hug? Like, I'm coming to hug you. Yeah, what do you mean? Yes. And so, so I find that I personally do not compartmentalize, but I've had to learn mm-hmm. how to do that. Mm-hmm. Because so many other people, I think, you know, and I think there's enough room for us all, but I think so many other people, their first thought, and society has kind of made it so everything is compartmentalized in these little pieces. But I think there does need to be more integration and yeah. does need to be more melding of all of the parts. Mm-hmm.
So this one is a personal question because I know I okay. kind of always struggle with this. Mm-hmm. Being a therapist and then being a mother or having a partner and mm-hmm. them seeing you as like either a therapist or a mother, how do you even mm-hmm. see that in terms of your mental health? Do you shut off? Do you keep it going? You know, mm-hmm. what are you thinking in those moments?
Mm-hmm. Well, I know that where our children, we've spoken about this
yeah.
before, our babies are very close in age.
Yes.
You have a boy, I have a girl. And it's interesting because the tween age that they're in mm-hmm. requires us to kind of even think about that.
Yeah.
So what I find is I don't necessarily label myself in that instance or in that way as a therapist, mm-hmm. but I find myself engaging in a lot of the techniques
yeah.
in relating to her.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because just this morning she actually said, or actually last night she actually said, "Well, you do so many things, mommy. You're a therapist, and then well, I don't really even know what all you do because you do so many things." You know,
my son was the exact same way. He wrote that like I was a physical therapist. I was like, "How do you see this?"
I know. Exactly. Yeah. She's like, you do so many things. I don't really know what to. Yeah. So, you know, because one day I could have her meditating if she's having trouble with homework, you know, yeah. or there may be another day she's an athlete and so I may have her stretching, you know, so it just depends. Yeah.
How do you see it in terms of partnership?
Partnership.
Yeah.
That's an interesting one because my husband's kind of seen all sides. Mm-hmm. Kind of this evolution that continues to keep evolving. Yeah. And he doesn't necessarily know it, but I do use techniques on him. Some of the less traditional ones, like hypnosis, he's not really interested in.
Yeah.
And actually, I'm doing a research poster on Black men. My husband is an African-American man. And their reluctancy and how the media plays into hypnosis. Mm. And their lack of excitement and willingness to be hypnotized.
However, so, they're always in trances, but they don't even realize that they are.
They don't even realize it. Exactly, exactly. So that answers your question perfectly. As a partner, I do use a technique on him, but he doesn't know it. So, yeah.
Oh, it's very interesting. And, you know, being in this world and how we're looking to shape mm-hmm. you know, our mental health and being mindful. One of the things I want my listeners to understand is really, you know, as practitioners, mind mm-hmm. body practitioners, we really do have to do the work, and the mm-hmm. world, the work really becomes part of our lifestyles versus something that we put on when we go to the office, mm-hmm. you know, our mm-hmm. 9 to 5 or 8 to 4.
Practicing what we preach.
Definitely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. How do you see how you shape you mm-hmm. as a big component of rethinking mental health in this world?
So I would say that shaping me, and I don't know if we were recording because mm-hmm. sister talk, we just start talking and that's how we do it, you know, but if we were not recording, mm-hmm. I'll just say for the listeners that, you know, I have to shape me first. Mm-hmm. For example, if I'm not in a grounded place, I can't work with anyone mm-hmm. because I'm not bringing them my full self. Mm-hmm. So there's another meme or saying out there that I keep hearing, you know, you can't pour from an empty cup. And so how I shape me is to make sure that I'm in a grounded place, mm-hmm. and if I'm not feeling that way, then it's time to retune and figure out what's going on and fix it mm-hmm. and fix it, because we really cannot pour into anyone else if mm-hmm. we're not full ourselves.
I say give them your overflow.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Give them,
oh, that's good.
Yeah, give them that overflow. It's like the teacup and the saucer.
Yeah.
So you can have whatever's coming out onto the saucer, because mm-hmm. it means that whatever I'm having, you know, it's plentiful, it's bountiful. Mm-hmm. Right?
So that's why my sis is brilliant.
That's true. So, you know,
I mean, what can I say?
What else? You've had a journey. Right. Mm-hmm. How do you think that your mental health is helping you to become who you're evolving to be? Because we're on this journey, this evolution journey is not going to stop. As long as we live, we'll be learning more. But how do you mm-hmm. think it's really starting to help you evolve?
Well, I'll go back to part of my journey, just because I know you know it, but a lot of your listeners do not. Mm-hmm. I was diagnosed with MS mm-hmm. when I was 24, and I experienced a really dramatic onset, which involved paralysis on my left side. Mm-hmm. Well, my bachelor's degree is in dance, and I'm a dancer, and also a former professional cheerleader for an NFL team. Hey. And so with all those things, give a shout out to the Carolina Panthers playing the Atlanta Falcons today. sorry, Giants fans in the New York area listening. But I would say that for me, that literally broke me down. To in your early 20s, to be in a place where you are a mover by nature, you have moved your entire life, you really make a living and take for granted that you have many, many more years of using your body to move.
Yeah.
Having that in jeopardy really can mess with your mind.
Yep.
And I will say that it was very, very difficult to experience that. However, had I not experienced that, I don't believe that I would have ever become as in tune with who I am and with my purpose in life and what I believe my service is, and what I'm supposed to be doing to help serve others. Had I not experienced that.
What description of your mental health at that time, what would you describe your mental health as? You're young, getting ready to move.
Yeah, I would say that that was my first introduction to clinical depression and anxiety. I had my first panic attack in my early 20s. I would say that I didn't see a therapist, though, until my early 30s, which is something interesting also. So I would say that a sense of denial was where I was, you know. I, at the time, was very aware of the physiological implications and things, but not necessarily the mental. I remember reading a lot of Louise Hay's work of You Can Heal Your Life. And my mother has always been a scientist, a biologist and chemist, and done lots of biomedical research and things like that. And so I really knew from a biological perspective and a physiological perspective what was going on. So I was working on that part, you know, the aesthetic.
Yeah.
That a lot of times, especially in athletics and performing, that part we have down.
Yeah.
But the mental piece, that didn't come, you know, even recognizing that I was having panic attacks or couldn't get out of bed some days, even recognizing that. That was many years later.
Okay, so it's time to take a purposeful pause on rethinking mental health, and we'll come back because I want to talk about how you're shaping the world with that knowledge, you know, and that insight that you have. Okay, and we're back. Rethinking mental health. Yay. And you were just talking about, you know, the realization, the insight of being able to be aware of some mental health issues you would have had as a result of your diagnosis and being able to manage it. And I wanted to continue the conversation because it's not about shifting it. It's about continuing how your life's lessons gave you your life purpose. And you are a pioneer. The world doesn't know it.
But you,
but you are a pioneer in mind, body, soul. And more importantly, for the African-American woman and the Black women, because I don't identify as an African American woman. I'm Caribbean, so I'm gonna right. link on the Caribbean right. woman as right. well too. Yes. But you just recently were chosen to be one of the 100 women, a Black women conversation on the OWN network.
Yes.
And for those who are going to run quickly and watch it, it's on OWN TV.
So. Yes, the Oprah Winfrey Network. Absolutely. Yes.
Tell us a little bit about that, your vision, because it's a vision. You know, you're a visionary in mind, body, soul, going to school from a PhD level, so this is not just hogwash. We're getting evidence-based with it. You know, what's your vision for the world?
I will say my vision for the world, because I am a Black woman, and so we are going to speak in those terms to encompass, you know, all of our African diaspora women, you know, all over the world. In being a Black woman, my vision for the world is because that's the way I happen to show up. But to let all people, not just persons of color, all people, but starting with persons of color, help us to understand how important taking care of ourselves is. And that's from a mental and physical perspective, and how important it is for us to integrate our medical and our mental health care. We, as people of color, are shown to be some of the least willing to experiment with integrative practices. And I think that we've been taught historically that we had to either replace traditional allopathic medicine with integrative practices, or integrative is combining the two, and they work hand in hand. So my vision for the world is to help persons of color in particular understand that integrating mind, body, spirit together with conventional allopathic medicine, conventional and traditional therapeutic practices with mental health, and alternative practices, integrating them all together is a part of our total mind, body, and soul. So, yes, and I really feel so fortunate to have been asked by the producers of OWN to come on and talk about that.
What do you which direction do you see us going in this integrative practice? Because I think the community, even though we're asking them to embrace both, there's one that's always more. And then we kind of say, well, here's this. So which direction do you see us going with both of these practices?
Well, I would love to see, as you ask my vision, I would love to see us integrate all of the above. But right now, I'll have to tell you, Janelle, because we are, you know, because this is evidence-based, because we are investigating, you know, what is out there, what people are doing, we are looking at that. I'll have to say, just getting us to the doctor period, it's hard enough. It really is. And so to talk about alternative practices, even just using the audience of 99 other women, including myself, women, including myself, there was a psychiatrist there. There were other people who've been through trauma, I mean, traumatic events. Some would argue that being a woman of color is traumatic even in and of itself. Just
Dr.
That,
Joy talks about world, that.
Yes, showing up in the world as a woman of color has its associated trauma with it. So when I'm told there is no time to meditate because I've got to make sure my kids have to eat, that's where we are. When it's actually the other way around.
I have to meditate and then you're going to eat.
Then you're going to eat. Because as you meditate, you're manifesting all the resources you need, all the health you need to then be able to serve your family and serve the world. So we have, when you, to answer your question, we have it backwards. We have it upside down. Mm-hmm. We're thinking these survival mechanisms, and rightfully so, rightfully so, because evolution has shown us that these are the ideologies that we need, mm-hmm. when really, no, we need these first, mm-hmm. and then that will come. Mm-hmm. And so basically, we're out of order. We're out of flow.
Yeah.
So we need to return to flow.
So let's talk about your baby Holistic Performance Center.
Yeah.
And I honestly believe that that's your contribution to the world to get that order back in sync.
Yeah.
So what
chill.
Yeah, it does. So when you created that, mm-hmm. did you think it was going to be as successful as it is today?
So I believe that success is relative.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And those of us that are charged with certain things, and that is a high honor and very, very, I won't say it's heavy, mm-hmm. Because I like to speak in the affirmative, mm-hmm. but it is an honor to be charged with helping to change mindset, mm-hmm. of a couple of generations, you know, before our generation and then after. It's huge. As far as success, I believe success is all relative, because I don't see myself ever truly feeling like my business is a success, mm-hmm. until more people are being helped heal. Mm-hmm. As long as there are people that need integrative mental, physical, and spiritual help, then I'm not successful. Okay. We have more work to do. There's more work to be done.
Answer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I'm asking all of my guests this one question.
Okay.
What are three ways in which you practice gratitude daily? Could you give my rethinkers, that's what I'm calling my crew, my tribe, rethinkers, three ways in which you practice gratitude daily?
Sure, absolutely. I've been journaling since 1997. I won't say how old I was. But we'll just, we'll say, because we're aging backwards, right?
Yes, we
That's
are.
Another thing about this. Yes. Yeah. So I've been journaling since 1997. I have many, many, many journals. Uh-huh. That is a way that I practice gratitude, because it allows me to go back and see where I've come from, and understand where I'm going. It's very cathartic for me, journaling. Prayer. And meditation. Mm-hmm. I'm cheating just a little bit because I'm grouping those together.
Yes.
But my prayers and meditations run together. Mm-hmm. Some days it might be more prayer. Other days it might be more meditation. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't necessarily mean me stopping. Although I do believe we should. There should be a ritual of prayer and meditation. But some days it may be simply, as I'm brushing my teeth, I have a thought and I come in communion with my creator, whom I happen to call God.
Yeah.
Holistic Performance Center, we're an interfaith business practice, and we welcome all faiths. My creator happens to be God, and that's whom I speak with. So that's where my prayer and meditation comes from. And then the third one is doing a ritual of pleasure every day. And what that means is something to make you smile. Mm-hmm. I heard Dr. Christiane Northrup speak this before to Oprah, and it stuck with me. Practicing a ritual of pleasure, whether it's a piece of chocolate or just simply driving to a movie, mm-hmm. or to the park, or sitting with your child, something that gives you great joy. Mm-hmm. I try to do one of those every day. And when I get to do something that gives me joy, it helps me feel grateful.
Yeah.
Because we take for granted those things. Yep.
Definitely. Yeah. Oh, thank you so much, sis. Where can the world hear you? But more importantly, and I'm going to let the cat out of the bag, she is doing virtual sessions. So if you loved this interview and you think you can definitely benefit from a conversation or some work with Lene, please tell them how they can find you.
Absolutely. We are online doing virtual sessions at www.holisticperformancecenter.com. Mm-hmm. And we can also be reached at Lene, L-E-N-E-E, at holisticperformancecenter.com. And we work with corporations and offices in person and do retreats as well. So we can come to you, but if that isn't a possibility, please feel free to book us for a virtual session.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for joining me
on Rethinking. It was an absolutely honor to have this conversation with you. And so thank you guys for listening to Rethinking Mental Health, the show on Bashani Radios out of New York City. And remember to update your perspective in order to change your narrative.
Yay. Thank you all.
Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and Manhattan. You are listening to BashaniRadio.com. New York City, always talking about everything.